I am ready to go.
Come on. Give it to the new guy.
Dance, Robin.
Yeah, I was not impressed.
That show bores me the heck out. The
Look at you, Justin, connecting the dots.
They've got to cram a lot of really cool stuff into each one.
I like it, the blue bride.
Learning so much right now.
Well, that's my contribution.
Boom. Done.
Hello, geek boys and girls. Welcome to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. As always, I'm joined with Justin, Randy, David, and one of our newest contributors, Jess, is here today. But I don't care how you guys are doing. I'm not even going to ask. All I care about is talking about The Walking Dead right now. Oh, my God. It was insane last night.
Was it? I was bored out of my mind.
What?
Wait. So which part bored you, Justin? Was it the fighting? Was it the gunplay? Was it the zombies? Was it the action?
Rick going crazy?
No, it was any part with Andrea and how all these people in the little colony wanted to leave, and then she goes in and she's like, "No, everything is gonna be okay. We can stand together. We can do this." And then they're like, "Oh yeah, let's hang out."
yeah, we can do this.
I was like, pass.
Yeah, that was boring.
I really gotta kind of agree. I was a little bit let down on the premiere, but I still enjoyed it nonetheless, but I thought it could have been a little bit more exciting.
I was actually, I was kind of disappointed with the Daryl and Merle resolution. Yeah. That was
like,
super
okay, we're just gonna go walk off into the woods.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty excited to see, like, just the two of them just, like, tearing it up out there. Like, I know you guys aren't big fans of, like, scenes from next week, but it looks like they're going to kind of have like a three different stories going. They're going to have the prison going. They're going to have the Dixon boys going, and they're going to have Woodbury going. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty excited to see what Merle and Daryl do on their own, just with no kind of moral compass or anyone holding them back or little screaming kids or, you know, cripples. I think that one is Daryl's kind of a cripple. Merle's kind of a cripple, I guess. But I'm just excited to see what they're going to do.
Yeah, I agree. I watched the scenes. And you know what's funny about that show is every week the scenes always look more amazing than each episode is, so I'm not holding my breath.
Well, because they cut together the most exciting parts.
Yeah, I want to watch that version. Cut the show down to 15
the
seconds.
The streamlined version,
winner.
The 5-minute version.
I think it's kind of weak that, I think it would have been great. I do like how they are going their own separate way, but I think that Merle is just so great at getting under people's skin that he could have caused so much conflict at the prison. I think that would have been wonderful. And okay, now that they're not in the equation, I was a little frustrated with Rick and how they're not letting those people stay, because they're going to need bodies if they expect to go to war with the governor there.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Totally cool. I feel like Merle and Daryl will probably end up back at the prison at some point. But I agree. I think Rick really needs to, you know, lay off the whole "no, we can't accept anybody into our group" thing. I really don't get his reasoning why he hasn't been really screwed over by people in the past too much.
Yeah. I think he was going to accept them, but then he saw Lori and then just freaked out.
Right.
Yeah, it's Rick who's the one that's screwing everybody off. Everyone invites Rick and their group into their group, and then they screw over the new group.
Yep.
Destroyed the farm, destroyed the CDC.
Yeah.
Rick's the problem.
That's what he does.
And his descent into madness should be interesting.
But, I mean, he needs to realize that he was that person asking for help, you know, in season two. You know, it was Herschel wanting to get rid of him, and he's like, "Oh, we can hang out, we can do this, we'll work for our keep," and blah, blah, blah. And now he's not playing.
I'm surprised Herschel didn't bring that up. That would have been.
Well, it probably would have taken him 20 minutes to get that point across, because he is the slowest talking human being.
Well, he's only got one leg, Justin. Right. Can't talk that fast.
I know. Oh my goodness.
But then maybe Rick's thinking, you know, someone gave me a chance, and I got his farm destroyed, and my best friend killed his zombie wife.
Yeah,
so maybe he's like, "I don't want to be that guy."
Right, and then there's the father and son that wanted to take down Carol and what's his name, Hat Boy Carl. Oh. And I think that would have been cool if Carl was like just whipped out his guns and just went to town and loaded them.
Uh-uh.
You are not taking over this prison.
Yeah.
Pearl is definitely far less annoying this season.
Yeah. Still a deucer with the hat.
Well, this hero worship, Justin. You know how little boys are with their dads.
Yeah. I wore a sailor hat. Had my name embroidered on it.
Nice.
No, it was a Peter Pan hat. Don't lie. No. That little green number with the feather.
I had one of those too, actually, from Disneyland. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I was really hoping that there'd be more of a showdown between Daryl and Merle. Like, either Daryl would stick with the group, which he didn't do, or Merle would die sacrificing himself to save his little brother.
Right.
I want Merle to die.
Maybe that's what'll happen.
I can't imagine Daryl bailing on his brother. I mean, he even made the point across, like, you know, already left him once.
Yeah.
And he felt horrible about that forever, and he was angry and upset, and so now it's like a second chance. And I get that Merle's a dick, and look at what he did to Glenn. They don't need to be near each other, so I'm totally cool with them kind of going their own separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
But whatevs.
They got to get rid of Michonne, like, I don't want your kick-ass sword-fighting skills around my family.
Yeah.
I don't want you protecting my group. You have to go, too.
Yeah. Like, I understand.
Let's see who Rick wants in his group. He wants one-legged Herschel, his kid, his baby, the useless girl, Carol, and then Maggie and Glenn, who are probably going to split from the group soon anyways. So he doesn't want Merle and Daryl, who would probably be the best hunters. He doesn't want this big buff Tyrese guy with his three able-bodied people, and he doesn't want Michonne with her sword and her obviously, you know, adept skills at surviving the zombie apocalypse.
And she has a problem with the governor, so it's not like she's gonna not fight when he shows up.
Yeah, and he knows the governor knows where he lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really hope.
Oh, sorry.
I feel like I keep trying to talk when you talk, and I feel really bad about that.
No, go ahead. It's hard to get a word edgewise with these guys.
What?
Yeah. Boys club over here. I feel like they really need to do more with Michonne, or Michonne, however you want to say it, this second half of this season, because compared to the comic books, she's just so toned down. And she was really awesome with her pet zombies, and then they took those away, and now she's just kind of like, okay, I'm not going to use my sword, I'm not going to say anything, I'm just going to stand here and be screamed at.
Right, because in the comics, she's like, she talks, like, she has a whole, like, little relationship with Tyrese, and, mm-hmm. you know, she's actually a person instead of this mute with a sword. So, yeah, I think she's kind of underutilized, but hopefully they'll remedy that now that they've brought Tyrese into the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get about it.
There we go.
But yeah. Yeah, she had zombie pets. How cool? How is that not cool?
She should get new ones.
I want to see Andrea as a zombie pet with no jaw and no arms.
I'm kind of in Walking Dead overload because I watched the first three seasons in like 2 weeks and then have read like 60 comics mm-hmm. of The Walking Dead. So I'm kind of in the Walking Dead zone. So I was just excited to see it. Apparently, a lot of people were. It got 12.6 million viewers on its first show, and then with the repeat, it's at almost 17 million viewers. And so, I mean, that's higher than a lot of network shows, and especially in the key demographic. I think it was 12.8 million viewers in the 18 to 35 demo. That's leaps and bounds above anything on network television right now, and it's pretty incredible that this, you know, show on basic cable is these shows are generating the viewership that they are, so.
And especially for, like, a mid-season premiere.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows that nothing's on, I guess. Or people are people are tired of the just
That's
crap
true.
On
there is
2,
nothing
4, and
on
7. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing on. I mean, whatever your opinion of it is, you know, there's really nothing on network television that can compare to, you know, The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Remember, that's how we were with the Sarah Chronicle Chronicles, because it was during the writer's strike and there was nothing on TV. And so even though it was remotely interesting, we're like, yeah, it's a great show, because there was nothing else on TV.
And the writer's strike ended, and we're like, oh, there's like other shit.
Yeah. I only watched that show for Summer Glau.
Oh yeah.
But they like totally wasted her. She was so good in like the first episode.
Wait, Amanda. When you talk about Summer Glau, talk slower and.
No.
I think we found the button.
Anyway, speaking of network television. Yeah. So Justin and I posted about the shows that are being renewed. CW is doubling down on its fantasy shows. As Justin reported, Arrow.
I was in the field. Tornadoes.
Like in a chopper?
Yeah.
I was like singing TV now, TV now, like the whole time I was typing. I love the CW.
Arrow, Supernatural, and The Vampire Diaries are all renewed for the 2013-2014 season.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to renew Beauty and the Beast too.
With Linda Hamilton and...
Ron Perlman?
And Ron Perlman.
Bringing it back. Where's my petition?
Holy smokes.
Not that Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, there's another one? There's
yeah, the one, where the Beast Gaston? Is hot. No, the Beast is hot in this one.
Oh, they should do like a reversal and have like the chick be the Beast and the guy just be a beautiful man, like the guy from Grey's Anatomy with the pretty eyes.
Like Patrick Dempsey?
No. Dr. Avery.
I don't know who that is.
Tall, dark, and handsome. I don't watch it.
Like, not Dr. Dreamy, but Dr. McSteamy?
No. He's not around anymore.
I don't know. That's the extent of my Grey's Anatomy knowledge.
Yeah. I stopped watching it, like, 5 years ago.
Dr. Avery. He's the hot one.
Those of us who don't live in Seattle don't care about Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yeah.
Other shows that were renewed that people might be interested in. Family Guy. Big Bang Theory, Simpsons, How I Met Your Mother, Bones. Well, people are probably not that interested in Bones. I don't think Bones is super interesting. I'm kind of surprised that it's being renewed. Like, I watched a bunch of the episodes, like, last weekend or the weekend before, and I don't know what happened, but I'm just not interested in them anymore.
Boring.
It's boring. Yeah, it's boring as heck. I think because the whole problem with procedurals is that, you know, once they're in that rhythm, that set structure for every episode, it just becomes like, you know exactly what's going to happen 5 minutes in. You know what's going to happen 15 minutes in. You know, like 20 minutes in, they're going to accuse somebody, but then it's going to turn out that they're not the culprit at all, and blah blah blah. It's just boring.
What show?
Bones.
I'm only interested in David Boreanaz when he's working with Joss Whedon, so.
Oh yeah.
Which means I have not watched anything he's been in since Buffy.
maybe he'll be in the Shield. Maybe he'll be in the Shield show.
Maybe.
Whedon likes to bring back all his buddies.
That'd be kind of cool.
Get him and Wash.
He can play an FBI agent. Or he can play a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
A couple of them are going to be in Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, yeah. I want to see that. I've been hearing about that for a while.
Well, it's a feature. Joss Whedon feature, so it'll be good. Unlike Joss Whedon television.
Wesley Wyndham Price and Fred, I think, are going to be in it. Both of them from Angel.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And then a bunch of people from Firefly.
Is Adam Baldwin going to be in it?
I don't know.
He might be. I can't remember.
I do like him.
I know Sean Marr's in it.
Who's that?
He was Simon on Firefly.
Oh.
The Doctor.
Oh, yeah. I was like, nope. Her brother.
The uninteresting one. Most interesting thing about him is he had his sister.
Yeah. I liked him. He loved his sister so much. But anyway.
Watch a show with spaceship and swords.
Anyway, back to television that's still on. fantasy shows are doing pretty well, so Grimm and Once Upon a Time are most likely going to be picked up again for a third season.
I need to watch more TV, I guess.
You watch Amazing Race and Survivor.
I watched like 5 shows, yeah. And those are 2 of them, yeah. Amazing Race is great.
It's amazing.
Better than all these shows are like, it's stupid, it's boring. I'm like, why are you watching them then?
Because I gotta give it a chance.
I watch Grimm. I don't like it, but I just watched 45 really minutes.
I like the Mindy Project. I think that show is so funny.
Oh, yeah.
I watch it every week. Can't miss
Me
it.
Me too.
What else is coming back?
Well, unfortunately, Revolution is probably coming back.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How is that possible? It's terrible.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they're just saying that's probably coming back because they haven't heard anything that's like negative enough about it. But
don't they listen to this show?
It's so bad.
I don't think TV Guide listens to our podcast.
They need to.
What else is coming back? Oh, Parks and Rec is coming back, which is good. Or probably coming back. It's not official yet, but I think if it's on the probably list, then it's probably good to go. And then also, even though it just started, The Following has been doing really well, and it's actually...
Does it have a strong following? Zing.
Har, har, har.
I put my sunglasses on for that.
Yeah. CSI Miami style?
Yeah. But...
Does everybody watch The Following?
No. I've been watching it. Is it just me and Justin?
Probably.
I have it recorded, but I haven't watched it. Too busy watching terrible television.
I like it. It's good. I don't know. I don't know how Fox works with their... with the availability of their... Oh, wait, no, you said you DVR'd it.
Yeah, there's like 3 episodes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fourth is on there.
It's very episodic. You know, there's a set story arc, so... I don't know, you might want to wait till the end of the season so you can, like, binge watch on it. At the end of every episode, I'm always like, oh my god, what's gonna happen next?
Yeah, it's pretty f***ed up, man. Like,
it's really creepy.
Horrible things happen, and you just can't trust anybody these days.
I had bad dreams about serial killers after watching the first 2 episodes. Like, I watched them right before I went to sleep, and I woke up, like, 3 or 4 hours later from a nightmare about serial killers.
I'm not surprised, dude. It gets in your head. Because people... that you want to trust are bad. Like when you're a kid, and you have a problem. Oh, talk to a grown up. Talk to a teacher, a police officer, or a fireman. And you can't trust any of those motherfuckers in this show. People's bad.
Yeah.
Bad business.
But Dave, it's definitely worth watching.
I am the worst business.
If you like scary stuff. The Following's worth watching.
Justin knows how much I love scary.
You like Jaws?
This is every conversation about horror movies I've ever had with Justin. Justin, oh, so I saw this awesome horror movie the other day. Was it scary? Oh my god, it was so scary. All right, well, why don't you explain to me so I can have a conversation about it with someone so I don't ever have to watch it? I'm a wuss.
Yeah.
Oh, it might be even particularly bad for you, Dave.
Yeah, because you got kids.
Because you're like, his father.
I'm like getting scared. Oh, is it like bad things happen to kids?
Not necessarily, but...
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
Don't want to spoil it in case you do watch it, but
okay.
It would probably be rough for you.
There's kidnapping involved.
Like Gone Baby Gone Bad?
Not that bad. Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. as far as you know.
Yeah. I haven't seen tonight's episode.
Me neither. I'm probably going to watch it in the light of day so I don't have bad dreams.
Yeah, it's good shit though, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to start watching that. Yeah. It sounds like something I would enjoy.
Jeff doesn't want to watch it because it has Kevin Bacon in it, but...
That's kind of why I hadn't started watching it, honestly.
But Bacon!
But he's got skinny ties. Well, what are you watching right now, Jess? What are your top shows?
My top shows are not currently on.
Oh, yeah?
I am a big fan of American Horror Story, and that literally just ended a few weeks ago, so I'll have to wait until October for that again. I am looking forward to Game of Thrones starting again, though, which starts March 31st.
Yeah. Did you read the books?
I did not.
Okay, so you don't know what happens?
I don't. I've heard that you shouldn't get attached to any character ever, but
especially this season coming up.
But how can you not? They're so amazing.
I know. So I'm bracing myself for the tears that are sure to come.
Well, how sad were you when Ned got beheaded?
Well, I was expecting that because it's Sean Bean.
Right.
So I was just like, yeah, he's not going to last very long. I was really, actually, the saddest part in the entire series so far for me was when, God, what's the oldest daughter's name? Her wolf.
Sansa?
Her wolf got killed, and I was super sad about that.
Yeah, that's horrible in the book.
I really hope that the ones that they set free come back at some point. I think that would be cool, but then I don't want them to, because then they'll probably get killed and I'll be sad again.
Well,
they're kind of mystical, or they kind of have like some kind of like power, or
I kind of thought
something in the books,
that
so
something like that was going on, but
yeah, I think they probably do come back. I can't remember though.
Well, yeah, that's kind of like why Sansa is as lost as she is, because she's no longer tied to her pup, her wolf. Like, that's why she's just so lost and miserable, is because she no longer has a lady.
Right.
And see, that would be really helpful if they actually explained that in the show, rather than just making her look like a stupid girl.
Yeah, they might go a different route. It gets a little bit crazy in the books. I mean, it's awesome, but I mean, I don't know how it'll translate to the series as far as how HBO has been handling it so far.
But in the book, you do see every wolf again.
Well, fantastic. I'll be looking forward to that then. And then I really like The Walking Dead, obviously, and Doctor Who I absolutely love, so I'm excited for that to restart in March, and I'm looking forward to the 50th anniversary coming up in a few months. That should be really cool.
Yeah.
They said that they're going to portray all 11 doctors somehow.
With Forrest Gump technology?
I think they're actually just going to use characters or actors from the Harry Potter franchise to fill in for the doctors that are old or dead. I know that they got the guy who played Filch to play the very first doctor.
Ah, that's Walder
Frey.
Yeah.
Yes. Justin likes Doctor Who.
That's not entirely accurate.
He watches it.
I like David Tennant.
Are you current in Doctor Who, Justin?
I am not.
Did you stop watching after Dr. Tennant? Or Dr. Tennant. We're just calling him that from now on. After David Tennant left, were you just completely done with the show?
I watched season 5, and then I watched the last episode of season 6. And when I got the reveal of who River Song was, I was like, what? I was like, nope.com, I'm done.
Yeah, that was weird.
And she's so irritating, so I don't know.
I like her.
Nope. No, you don't. You think you do, but you don't. You like the idea of her, but
fine.
Don't spoil it, man. I'm only like 86 episodes behind.
Yeah.
Well, what else are you watching, Justin?
Oh, that's it. I watch Arrow and all the shows we've already talked about. The Mindy Project, New Girl, Shameless.
That was Shameless.
I love it. It's so funny.
Yeah, I love William H. Macy.
Yeah, he's such a dick in this show.
Yeah,
he's so bad. He has no moral code whatsoever.
Nice.
He's shameless.
So. I'll have to check it out.
Oh, really?
He is one edgy son bitch.
Not just a clever title.
No, it is not. But all the kids are relatively shameless. But they do what they gotta do to get by. They're the Gallaghers. The south side of Chicago.
Like beating watermelons with hammers Gallaghers? Okay. Any relation?
Different kind of Gallagher.
Like Peter Gallagher with the eyebrows?
No, he does have some eyebrows, that guy. My mom actually thinks he's attractive.
William H. Macy?
No.
Peter Gallagher?
Eyebrow Gallagher.
I think a lot of people do. He's an attractive man. He was on the OC. He was the dad.
He was on While You Were Sleeping.
I think Randy's on.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah. Invite him to the fun.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Woo, full house.
Party now.
Good times.
You're the party, Randy.
So what did I miss?
All the TVs,
television.
Well, now you're going to shift the balance because we had a 2-2 tie going into the Doctor Who, and now you're going to shift it towards the ladies.
Well, yeah, I guess I probably would.
Dang it! Now someone's got to go.
Oh.
All right. I'll see you guys later.
All right. Good night.
You scared away, Randy.
I do have that effect on the ladies.
Still going, Amanda? You want to leave all this?
Yeah. I need to try and get some sleep, hopefully.
Yeah.
Right, well, cool. Well, you have a good night. Thank you for reporting on the news.
Yeah. Dream up good night, you guys. Don't stay up too late.
Good night.
Now the party starts.
Toy news. What do you got?
I don't think I had a chance to mention it before, but there were some pictures leaked online a couple weeks back of a brand new 6-inch line of Star Wars action figures. It's a whole new direction that Hasbro is going. The figures that we grew up knowing and loving, the 3 3/4-inch scale, they're really super cool, but they can't quite pack in all the articulation or detail that some people are into. And one of the really, really popular lines of toys to come out in the last 10 or 15 years was the Lord of the Rings lines, and that was the 6-inch scale. Something I've never personally been into myself, but it's something that Hasbro has decided to kind of explore. They are geared towards the collector's market, which means they're probably going to be ridiculously expensive. I'm not sure the retail price for them right now, but it's going to be I think there's 4 or 6 figures in the initial run, and they're concentrating on characters from the original trilogy. But super, super detailed, extra articulated, and they're calling it the Black Series. So they're in these all-black packages, and it's actually kind of cool looking, but it's definitely geared more towards the adult collector.
Is it like a peep show box?
Well, yeah, the way that they're...
When you say adult collectible, is it like totally done in like a black
It's got shirt? Like a little keyhole cut out and you peep through it. No, it's just more expensive than something. It's like if David were to buy these, he would put them in a nice shelf where he can look at them. He's not going to open them up and give it to his 5-year-old, you know? So, but on the other hand, they are also releasing a black series of 3 3/4-inch figures as well. And from the best that I can understand, from the pictures I've seen and from the descriptions and everything from Toy Fair, is it looks like they're just going to be continuing to make basically the same quality of figures that they are now in the vintage packaging, which as far as I'm concerned is really super articulated for that scale anyway. And they're just going to be releasing them in different packaging, all black. But it's going to be a blister pack instead of a little window box like the 6-inch figures are. But there's also going to be yet another variety of the 3 3/4-inch scale. And this is actually something that kind of harkens back to our childhood because they're going to super unarticulated. It's just like shoulders, hips, and head. 5 points of articulation. They should be dirt cheap. I'm looking at pictures of them right now, and they look like total bootleg straight out of Mexico or something like that, just the look of them. But I know they're just prototypes. They're not done yet. But it should be... You know how sometimes you go to like the 99-cent store or somewhere really cheap like that, and they actually will have action figures out for movies that are out like right now? Like I remember seeing Batman figures out for the last Batman movie, but they're super pared down and they don't move very much and the paint's real shoddy on them, but they're officially licensed products. That's kind of the direction they're going with these Star Wars figures here. I'm not saying that they're shoddy per se, but they're going to be a hell of a lot cheaper than $10 a pop that they're charging in stores for them right now. So that I do not have the estimated retail on, but we're supposed to be seeing all of that stuff coming this summer / fall. So that's what we have to look forward to for Star Wars toys. I also got to see all sorts of cool stuff for The Hobbit, including this really big $90 pack called like the Epic Adventure Set, and it has all the dwarves included, including a whole bunch of them that aren't released yet now. So that should be kind of cool. It almost makes me kick myself for buying all the 2-packs that I got now, because if I want to get that really neat box set, I'm going to end up with all these extra dwarves that I have no idea what to do with. But it's really cool. The next round of Hobbit figures are supposed to be coming out, I want to say, something like June. But fun stuff. Very cool. No play sets of any kind, just a whole bunch of dwarves get Radagast, and trying to think what else. Oh, the big white
with poop on his face.
I didn't see a clear enough picture to see if he actually has the poop sculpted on his face, but the white orc guy with only one arm, whose name escapes me at the moment, I'm sure you guys... Yeah, that one. he's being released with a rideable warg, which is kind of cool. Just because there weren't a whole lot of villains released in the first round of action figures, so it's always neat to get something for them to kind of fight against. At least that's how I always felt when I was a kid.
Right. Playing. So otherwise you got like 40 guys on one side and like one guy on the other side. You're like, that's not good.
So that's pretty much the big news that came out of Toy Fair that hit my radar. I'm still going to be looking at stuff all week long, but yeah.
Did you see the RoboCop and the aliens and the Predator figures?
I didn't, but I'm clicking on the link you just sent me right now.
Don't break the fourth wall!
I'm looking
at those right now.
I did see some pictures of the 1960s Batman figures, and that looks actually kind of cool. Is that the 6-inch scale? Can you tell?
I think it's bigger.
Is it bigger?
Yeah, I think they're 12-inch. Yeah, there's an awesome Captain America. I know Justin's a big fan.
Yeah.
But he actually looks really cool.
Yeah.
Some Carrie figures.
The Aliens figures, yeah. And those look like the sweet spot. Are those my darling little 3¾-inch?
They are.
Oh, that's badass. For a long time, I've wanted some alien figures in that scale. And a couple of years back, there was a Japanese company called Takara that made they make the Microman figures, which are super ridiculously ultra-posable. They put out a couple different Batman figures, and they did some Alien versus Predator figures, and they're super, super detailed. But the aftermarket on those things is incredible because they just never came over to the States. At least at retail here. I saw it at some collector shows and that sort of thing. But if you get them on eBay now, they're easily $50 a figure. But they're super, super detailed and super worth it. So if I can save a little bit of money there and wait for this series of figures that I'm looking at here, I am going to do it.
Yeah. Takara, they're like the Japanese Hasbro. They were the original Transformer guys too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Fun fact. You see the Ed 209 figure?
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it right now. That's wicked. I love that it's the old Ed 209. I have no idea if there's even going to be a new Ed 209 in any new reincarnation of RoboCop, but that thing gave me nightmares as a child.
You have 10 seconds to comply.
Better do what he says.
Yeah, that's cool.
Dick Jones.
Yeah. Fun toys. What about you, Jess? You see any fun toys you liked from Toy Fair?
Yeah, they finally got some decent pictures up of the Series 3 and 4 for The Walking Dead. There's a pretty cool Merle Dixon one with his new and improved hand and his semi-automatic rifle there. The coolest one that I think is actually the Governor's Daughter in zombie form with her little bucket of hands and feet and intestines that she enjoys eating. And like I posted before on the website, the Michonne ones are all really awesome. I mean, that's how I wish that her character was portrayed all the time in the show.
Right. Yeah. She looks pretty, pretty cool in these pictures.
they have new Dexter toys coming out, but the one that I'm looking at, his kill shirt is pink.
Oh, that's
weird. I don't know why.
Instead of that green, that brownish green color one?
Yeah, it's just straight up pink. I don't really understand what's going on with that.
I think they use the same mold for all the Dexter figures, and they just paint different shirts so people will buy it. They paint it different colors. And this one comes with like a little police badge kind of thing, ID badge you can put around his neck. I think I saw that one. Yeah.
And then they have the new Carrie toys coming out, the Chloe Moretz, however you say her last name, version of Carrie that's going to be coming out here in a couple months. October, I think. But yeah, they look pretty decent. They look just like her, but to me, the only Carrie is Sissy Spacek because she's terrifying. So.
Yeah, that movie takes a dark turn at the end.
Yeah.
The teaser for the new Carrie was crazy, though. I mean, it gives away the ending, but we all know how it ends, towards the whole city's on fire and like the camera's just slowly coming through the city, and then all of a sudden it ends up on her, and it's like, ooh. I'm not going to see this movie. I'm going to have Justin explain it to me.
Have you seen the original?
Oh, yeah, I saw the original.
Oh. Well, I'm sure it's the exact same thing.
Without John Travolta, though.
Right.
Well, there's a fun new Star Wars rumor, speaking of Chloe Moretz, that Matthew Vaughn, when they approached him if he wanted to direct Star Wars, he was insistent that he'd be allowed to cast her as the female lead for Episode 7, and that was kind of a sticking point with Disney, that they weren't interested in hiring a director who had so many demands.
Oh yeah, got to be their way or the highway.
You can't have more demands than Disney. That's
right.
They're not gonna go with that.
Yeah, I mean, no, we don't know if it's true. It's just it's kind of the rumor floating out there right now, because, you know, of course, everyone's either super excited for J.J. Abrams or super not excited. So everyone's got to have their say.
I'm pretty indifferent.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are, but some people just don't like the idea of Mr. Abrams as a director.
I'll fight him.
You will? Like bare knuckle?
Fisticuffs, yeah. I took a boxing class 10 years ago.
At the Learning Annex?
What talking about.
What, any other cool toys out there that people should be on the lookout for that you guys saw?
Well, there is. We got a little bit of a sneak peek at some Klingons, actually, from the new Star Trek movie, in the form of these little Lego-esque figures. Now, there's a lot of different bootleg Legos out there, but I think Hasbro's brand of bootleg Legos is called Creo,
yes.
And they have the license to do all the Star Trek stuff. So there are a bunch of different playsets that photos have been released for, and you kind of see what, because there's a Klingon bird of prey, so I'm assuming there are Klingons in this movie, but you don't really see their face. They kind of have this helmet on, and you see a little bit of cranial ridges, but it's very much like the early Star Trek movies, where it's not like the Next Generation, the big old ridges that you see. It's more like just kind of like a central line of bumps.
Right.
Coming down their head, and then it just opens right at their mouth. Now, I haven't really been keeping up on all the images that have come out for Star Trek, so I don't know if there have been any kind of official images released for giving us any kind of glimpse. But the toys, you know, as silly as they may be, these little things are giving us at least a little bit of insight of how the Klingons are going to look. So I just think it's going to be cool to have Klingons in it.
Well, they were in the 09, like at the deleted scenes. Like that they actually shot and finished, and they're the original series cranial ridges, and they explain. I don't want to get too nerdy. They explain that away in Enterprise, why they have different cranial ridges.
Right now, and I watched Enterprise, but in the original series, they didn't have any cranial ridges in the 60s. They didn't have anything like on the actual head itself until the movies.
Right.
Before they just had silly haircuts and little Fu Manchu.
And mustache.
Yeah. Budget and makeup limitations.
Exactly.
I would chalk that up too.
Also, speaking of Hasbro, I did see some of their G.I. Joe toys from the movie, the new movie coming out. And the Bruce Willis action figure actually looks really cool. Just as he comes, you could totally just use him without any kind of customization whatsoever as a John McClane figure with what he's wearing. So if you ever wanted to recreate Die Hard in the 3 3/4 inch scale, now is your chance.
I can die a happy man.
Break out your Sheriff of Nottingham from Prince of Thieves.
Ron the Groover.
I'm thinking that's
interesting. He's wearing all black.
Yeah, and it's too tall, though. They were like 5 inches.
Well, he's the Eastern European fella, and those guys are tall.
And toy sculpts in the mid-90s versus toy sculpts today, worlds apart.
I liked your idea, Justin.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to piss all over it.
I'm an idea man, Dave.
I had to piss.
You are. You're an idea man.
Yeah.
And that's it. I have blown my load officially.
Toys. We like toys.
I do. Yeah.
I'm actually playing with my Captain America mini mighty mug.
Because you love Captain America, even though you say you don't.
I have a Captain America and a Hulk mighty mini mug, or whatever they're called.
I have a Hulk. It's like 4 feet from me, actually. I could be playing with mine, too. And it would be like we were playing together.
Yeah.
But apart. What's going on in video games, Justin?
All kinds of fun stuff. Most notably for me is Aliens Colonial Marines comes out in 15 minutes, and my shit's already downloaded, and I can't wait to play. So this podcast is ending at midnight. Anyway. what else we got? Freaking some Skylanders news. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the Skylander franchise actually smashed $1 billion. They have gone crazy. Kids love it. Adults love it. And in just 15 short months, Activision has come up with $1 billion.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's like a game tailor-made for Randy. It's a video game about toys, Randy. You collect toys and you play with them in a video game space.
Right. I like the sound of that.
And it's so much fun. It's like, you know, it's very reminiscent of like those
Pogs.
Yeah, like just like Pogs, but you had have the big Pogs.
That doesn't
sound like
fun.
The old. You remember those like four player like X-Men game or like the Simpsons game, stuff like that. It's a lot like that, just like a smash 'em up game. But what's cool is, you know, you turn on your game, and then, you know, you have your little portal of power, and then whatever little guy you put on there, so you get to play, and you can switch and match and stuff like that. It's very fun, unless you're playing with a 6-year-old who wants to just keep switching the guys, and then, no, we got to get through this level. Sorry. What were you saying, Justin?
$1 billion. Lots of money. Yeah. So that's exciting. I know you have them, and Josh has them, and no one else, but apparently you guys bought $1 billion worth of Skylander stories.
Probably, because if you get them on sale, you usually get them like buy one, get one like half off, or buy two, get one free. But like if you want like the normal guys, they're like $9, or if you want the giants, they're like $14.99.
Right. Yeah, and this includes the whole franchise. So we're talking like Spyro's Adventure and then the Skylanders Giants toys. So the two different.
Yeah, it definitely
first one and the second one.
It's fun though.
Moving on. Interesting news with Xbox 720 rumors. You know, remember me mentioning a couple weeks ago that it's rumored to have kind of like a built-in Kinect functionality to it?
I do.
Now they're saying that it is going to require a Kinect to even function.
Really? But it's not going to come with it?
Well, who knows? It might automatically be a part of the system. I don't know how they're going to go about it. We'll find out in a couple weeks, I'm sure. But so far, reports are saying that it's going to be like a twofer. Everyone's all about the motion capturing experience. So it's quite possible that it is going to be part of your gaming experience, regardless whether you want it to be or not.
Right. Well, they're definitely going to have to improve upon the existing Kinect.
Yeah, it might not be so much as, you know, your actual crazy, ridiculous motions where you need a freaking warehouse to operate it. But it's definitely going to have Kinect functions involved. So hopefully it's more like a Minority Report computer, you know, where you just move your hands and tap stuff on your interface. I think that'd be kind of cool. I guess I should follow that up with Microsoft had a press release today where they said that they've sold 76 million Xbox 360 consoles and 24 million Kinect sensors. So that's quite a bit.
What else?
Do you guys remember hearing about that game Destiny, which is Bungie's latest project that they're working on?
Uh-huh.
They got some crazy action going on their website right now. It's a couple of puzzles to get some information. It starts off where, like, if you were to go to, like, the BungieNet website, you got to align these diamonds into a special pattern, and then it takes you to the next page. And then there's this new puzzle where it's talking about coordinate, combine, and clarify these coordinates, but it doesn't make any sense, and I haven't been able to figure it out. But there's a giant, it says like 7654321, and then it says Monday. So people are speculating that on Monday we'll have some information leading up, like a big reveal on what the game actually is. So far, there was a story that leaked back, I don't know, a couple months ago, like in November, where a press document had some information on the game, and somebody leaked that. And the whole idea was, on the press release it said, our story begins 700 years ago from now in the last city on Earth, in a solar system littered with ruins of man's golden age. A massive, mysterious alien ship hangs overhead like a second moon. No one knows where it came from or what it's here for, but only that it's our protector. Meanwhile, strange alien monsters creep in from the edge of the universe, determined to take Earth and the last city. We are young knights tasked with defending the remains of humanity, discovering the source of these monsters, and eventually overcoming it. And we were given an image of this ridiculous huge ship over this city. And it looked pretty cool. And the Bungie described the game as fun and accessible to all, so it could be like an MMO for all ages. And saying that it's social at its core, and something to the effect of they want it to be kind of like a Star Wars universe, like as immersive as a Star Wars universe. So they probably have buckets and buckets of lore and mythology that's going to be tied to this game. So that should be fun. But hopefully we'll find out more about it on Monday, which is a week from now. So yeah, that's all I got. If you guys want to check out that website, it's definitely interesting. I imagine that because today is day 7, that's why I can only get past the first puzzle. I think maybe tomorrow this coordinate, combine, and clarify thing might make more sense.
Well, that's cool. Because yeah, remember, they did that whole I heart bees or I love bees or whatever for Halo 2, to where I was trying to get people to go out and in the real world, heaven forbid.
Like a scavenger hunt?
Yeah, it was kind of like a scavenger hunt. And I remember there was something around the Disneyland area of in our neck of the woods. And I remember people were going there, and it was a phone booth or something like that, and there was clues there or something.
A clue.
It was a clue. Felt like us in Scooby Doo or something.
Yeah. Or Venture Brothers. I'm the bat.
You sure are.
But that's all I got. What's going on in movie news there, Dave?
There's some good stuff. I'll start with my bread and butter that I love so much, the ever revolving news story that is Star Wars. It was released, of course, the day after our podcast recorded last week, that they confirmed there would be 2 standalone movies in addition to the sequel trilogy. And right now, nothing is still confirmed in stone, but it's been announced by the powers that be that one of the standalone films will focus around a young Han Solo, and one will focus around Boba Fett. No age or time frame for Boba Fett was announced. And I guess the way they want to stagger the films is they want to have, as of now, the years may change slightly, 2015 Episode 7, 2018 Episode 8, 2021 Episode 9, and in between 7 and 8, they'd have one movie, and in between 8 and 9, they'd have another movie. So in the span of the 6 years, we would have 5 Star Wars movies. I don't know if that's a little too much, but, Disney's been pretty good and with managing their properties. A young Han Solo movie, while at face value, probably doesn't appeal to most people. I'm a big fan of the expanded universe, and there's a pretty cool series of novels that involve, Han's past, what he was doing, what he was like, who he was dating, all that fun stuff. So it definitely excites me.
Was he selling Wookiees on the side?
He was not. He was saved. He was saved by a Wookiee, and that's why he saved Chewbacca. He was paying it forward, like Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah. I don't think it ended too well for him at the end of them.
Not for who?
For so. Haley Joel Osment.
He saw dead people.
Did somebody die in that movie?
He dies in it.
There you go.
He gets stabbed.
That's very sad. That's right. And there's all those people in his front yard.
Yeah. It's very sad. And they all pay it forward. So, in a way, it was good that he died. The world is better because he died.
Oh.
I mean, it's terrible, but it's true. But also in Star Wars news, I guess John Noble, our buddy from Fringe, is in contention to possibly play either the main villain or one of the villains in the Episode 7. I could most definitely picture him as either a pretty awesome Sith Lord or some high-powered Imperial officer. And I know Justin probably would agree with me on that one.
I do. Yeah. I like him as a good guy, of course, but him in anything is always cool, so.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So, yeah, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say I concur, and I was going to throw in the other little juicy morsel that I have finally started watching Fringe. I am through the pilot.
Oh, nice. That's some crazy shit on the plane at the beginning there, huh?
It is, and I'm actually really enjoying it and wondering why I didn't start watching it sooner.
But, so that's pretty much all for Star Wars. Now we'll switch it over to the other star of Star Trek. There's been a lot of back and forth about the villain in Star Trek, and that has not changed in this last week. Entertainment Weekly had a big cover story for the new Star Trek movie Into Darkness that opens up this May. And on their website, there was a picture that was taken down shortly after it was posted that said that Benedict Cumberbatch was going to play Khan. And, of course, the internet went on fire. Everyone's like, oh, my God, he's going to be Khan. I'm so excited. And then the picture got taken down. And they're like, oh, maybe it wasn't. I can't imagine that Entertainment Weekly would make that kind of mistake. They've been kind of the go-to person to release new images and new posters. They were the first one to debut the main poster. They were the first ones to debut the teaser trailer. They were the first ones to debut all the first official images. So I doubt that it was an accident that they leaked this. I think it's just another stab in the never-ending J.J. Abrams wanting to just mess with our minds. And I think it's reaching a point where people are starting to get irritated, less intrigued about it and more irritated. Because later on, 2 days later, Simon Pegg came out and said that J.J. Abrams was going to be directing Star Trek 3. And then a couple hours later, he had to retract that statement in a tweet. Then the person who's going to play Carol Marcus said that Cumberbatch definitely wasn't Khan. And now someone else is saying he is Khan. And I'm exhausted just thinking about it. Be Khan, don't be Khan. I don't care anymore. But I really do. I want it to be Khan still. You guys been keeping up with this?
Mm-hmm. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I think it's just a bit oversaturated anymore.
Because now I think it's at the point where it's just kind of negative feedback.
Yeah, I think what would have been rad is the Super Bowl commercial. It's just Benedict Cumberbatch, and it comes out as Khan. Or not Khan, if they want to be Gary Mitchell, if they want to be John Harrison, I think that would have been like the best way to just reveal it. Because you got this game that 120 million people are watching. It's the biggest advertising day of the year. I think that would have been the best part, just to say, I'm Khan, deal with it.
Yeah, or it could have even been like a black screen. Like the trailer ends and you just hear Kirk yell, Khan! That would have been cool too.
Yeah, I mean anything like that, you could have... He could have made a reference to Botany Bay. He could have, he could have done any number of things to reference that he's Khan, but just seemed like a missed opportunity in my eyes. Yeah. But
whatever.
What do I know?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But that's pretty much it. There's a lot of other little small news and trailers and posters. So you can go to geeklegacy.com and check it out. And I think you'll like it. There was a fun little, I don't know if you guys saw it on this site, that Warner Horizon Television is going to do a sci-fi remake of Wizard of Oz. I don't know if you guys saw the pictures that I put on the site. Of science fiction
Red
Tin
Brick
Man.
Road.
Yeah, it's called Red Brick Road. And I don't know, it looks kind of interesting. It looks like it might be kind of a cheesy made-for-sci-fi channel movie. But, it's always fun to see interesting new takes on things. So that's pretty much it. There was a new trailer for Monsters University. I know I'm excited, probably the only one in the world who is, but so that's all for movies. GeekLegacy.com, check it out. What else you got? Anything else?
We have a Twitter question.
Oh yeah, we do.
I would rather answer the Twitter question than do this top 10 list, but
okay.
If you want to hear it.
No, that's fine. Let's see. From Stephen Alva Wood, at Geek Legacy, curious to know which Star Wars spinoff you would like to see and what would you do with it? Loving the podcast. Cheers.
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words of encouragement. That's always a damn nice thing to hear around here.
I like it. Now, does someone who's not going to answer it in 40 minutes want to take this one first? I guess we know Randy's answer since he has a full Boba Fett costume.
Boba Fett fetish.
I guess we'll set the parameters first, dude. We just talked about that there was a Han Solo and a Boba Fett movie that's probably going to happen. There's rumors that there's going to be a Yoda movie, and anything else you can think of is probably fair game. So what would you most like to see as a standalone movie, or would you like to see something completely different that we haven't seen? Justin.
I want to see
that Randy was ready.
I want to see a samurai movie done by Zack Snyder.
Oh, shut up. You are revoked. If I could mute you, I would mute you now, you Zack Snyder-loving MF-er.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Don't berate. Don't insult our fans. Randy.
I feel like I missed something.
I made a mistake. Back to you. You must not have listened to last week's podcast. We were going on about Snyder.
Oh, okay. I'm thrilled that they're even considering doing a Boba Fett standalone movie, but I'm honestly more excited about Han Solo's backstory. I would rather not know too much about Boba Fett. And he's such a cool character. It just, to me, it seems like there's so many ways they could screw it up. I don't know. I'm real nervous about Boba Fett. I'm definitely going to watch it, clearly, obviously, but I'm nervous. But the Han Solo one, I've actually taken the time to read a couple of the Expanded Universe Han Solo books that came out early in the Star Wars days. And they're fun. They're fun.
Han Solo at Star's End?
Yeah, you know, just Han Solo and Lando Calrissian just trolling around, having good times, you know, more or less. I don't know. I think that's going to be a lot more fun. We can see his defection from the Empire. We can see how he and Chewie hooked up. We can see a little bit of backstory with Lando. I think there's a lot of area to explore, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun look at the Star Wars universe with a character that we all know and love. And they've already kind of serialized another young Harrison Ford played character when they did the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, and I think that worked out pretty well. So I wouldn't mind seeing another actor step into the shoes of Han Solo. So I know that's going to be something that kind of gets on a lot of people's nerves that it's not being played by Harrison Ford. But I say bring it on.
About the Boba Fett film, would you want it to go Dredd style and him never take his helmet off, or would you want to see, you know, like kind of a war-torn looking dude under there with busted up face from being in the shit all the time?
All my childhood, I always wanted to see what Boba Fett looked like under the helmet. I customized an action figure, and I cut the shit out of my hands with an X-Acto knife, hollowing out one of those little plastic helmets so I could just shove some human face under there, basically looking like how I imagined he looked. It was all scarred and had an eye patch and everything. I always wanted to see under the helmet, and I think I'm gonna carry that on to the movie. I want to be able to make a personal connection with him that you just can't do from the other side of a helmet.
Now, when pretend for a second that you're wearing the helmet, does it have like a user interface? Is there like a bunch of bleepity bloops and things happening, or is it just a sweet looking visor?
Imagine it being a slightly lower tech version of like the Iron Man mask. There's going to be like some sort of heads up display in there.
Gotcha.
And you can see behind him.
Oh.
Well, did you ever play the Republic Commando game?
I did.
First-person shooter. Every once in a while, you'd have like the HUD display up on your screen, and you had all the little stuff poking up there. Imagine that being kind of like what Boba Fett would be seeing in his too, because his armor was sort of, or the clone armor was sort of loosely based on Mandalorian armor.
I
imagine there would be a similar system in there.
But Mandalorians were from a long time ago, and I'm not sure if they had that technology back then. They didn't really have computers back then.
I think they were just going for a retro look. All their gear is pretty high tech.
Don't make me fight you, Justin. What about you, Jess? Are you a Star Wars guy? A Star Wars gal?
But just reiterate, Star Wars is a long time ago, and the Mandalorians were even a longer time ago. So I really don't see how the technology was available.
A longer time ago than now? Yeah.
When will then be?
Or a longer time ago in the future?
Then.
Man, just an aneurysm. No. So you were saying before Nerdotron interrupted you, Jess?
I am a big Star Wars fan, actually. I would like to see a Boba Fett movie. I gotta agree with Han Solo, but I'd honestly like to see more of Lando Calrissian. I think he'd be a fun character to follow.
I think it should be like a buddy cop movie.
Can't do any. Yeah, exactly. Like kind of a Lethal Weapon style.
Right, exactly.
Do over.
I don't know how I feel about the Yoda standalone. I kind of like the mystery behind Yoda. And he's pretty iconic seeing him as the way he is now. So seeing a young Yoda might be, well, whatever a young Yoda is considered, might be kind of, might ruin it a little bit.
when I reported the story for the standalone movies, I put a picture of my three of my favorite novels. There, it was the Han Solo trilogy. It's their novels called Paradise Snare, Hutt Gambit, and Rebel Dawn, and basically it chronicles Han Solo's life from age nine till the second he walks into the bar to obviously meet Obi-Wan and Luke Skywalker. And it encompasses all the Brian Daley novels of, like, you know, Star's End, where they're in the corporate sector and stuff like that. And you really, really get to know everything you want to know about Han Solo in these books. You find out why Chewie thinks Lando's going to be mad at him at Cloud City. You find out how he got the Falcon. You find out how he met Chewie. You find out why he got kicked out of the Academy, why he joined the Academy, why he loves Wookiees. His first love. You find out everything about him in these three novels.
They make great coats.
They do. They keep you warm. So you find out everything you need to know about him in these three books. And they're incredibly written, and they go really fast. And I'd recommend them to anyone who wants to learn more about Han Solo. They'll tell you everything you need to know about him. And if the movies are half as good as the books, it'll be great. With Boba Fett, I'd like to see the opposite. I want to see Boba Fett in the far future. I want to see him in the expanded universe. He rebuilds the Mandalorian people. He unites Mandalore, he unites the people, and they become a warrior race again. And I would really, really like to see Boba Fett reunite and rebuild the Mandalorians. So that's my two cents on what I want to see. What about you, Justin?
I got nothing. I want acid spitting lightsabers. That's it.
Yeah. And Colonial Marines.
Simple request.
I'll send Mr. Kasdan a personal email for you.
That's it.
Were you going to say something, Randy, before I interrupt again?
I was going to say, if it does take place in the future with Boba Fett, it would actually be kind of cool, because then you could offer crossovers into episodes 7, 8, 9, certain events kind of going on. Because I know they're meant to be standalone films, but it would be nice to kind of reference activities going on during the core trilogy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe run into some characters that play heavily into the trilogy.
So you're assuming that he gets out of the Sarlacc pit?
Oh yeah, we all know he gets out of the Sarlacc pit.
Spoiler alert.
Everybody's read Dark Empire number 3, Justin. Everyone knows that Han Solo throws grenades against the Sarlacc wall and it blows open and he crawls out and Dengar saves him.
Doesn't he have a goddamn jetpack?
Yeah, but it was smashed against the side of...
It was hit with a stick from behind.
Hard, man. It was hit hard.
It was accidentous. It was like total Fankler from Police Academy style.
I sometimes have trouble remembering why everyone loves Boba Fett as much as he does. I mean, there's a couple, you know, iconic Boba Fett things that I'm reminded that Boba Fett is a badass. But, you know, I mean, A, he stands up to Vader. He's really the only one who ever stands up to Vader and doesn't get a lightsaber across his face. But he's only in the movies like 5 seconds, and he goes out like a kind of a B.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was so much mystery. It was the cool-looking armor and such a sense of mystery about him. And now there's so much less mystery because of the prequels and because of the novels to a certain degree. So I think that's why there may not be as many new Boba Fett fans as there were fans of him in the original trilogy. I don't know.
Right. Well, I think the expanded universe has done Boba Fett an enormous, you know, service, because they've really played on the mystery to where... You know, Boba Fett is pretty much like the Clint Eastwood of the galaxy far, far away. Like, everyone knows who Boba Fett is, but no one knows a thing about him. And he's happy to just bank on that. And he's just like, no one is going to mess with me because I'm Boba freaking Fett. And so he's almost like just this lone gunman just roaming the galaxy. He's not hiding from anyone. He goes into spaceports. Anyone wants to challenge him to a gunfight, they'll take him out.
Yeah, he's like Dog, a bounty hunter.
He is like Dog, the bounty hunter, with better hair.
Okay, so you know what? I changed my vote. I want to see a space western, like total spaghetti western with Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Thank you for your question.
Yeah, it's a great question.
It was.
Stephen Alva Wood.
It could be an entire podcast.
Yeah, it really could. So
it might have to be.
Be sure to follow at Stephen Alva Wood.
Because he asks good questions.
He does.
We're going to have to give him a nickname, right?
Yeah. I can't think of any right now.
It's late. You got your mind on Colonial Marines.
I do. Actually, we have one more thing to talk about. Jess is kind of our go-to horror guru, and she's going to be attending the Horror Hound weekend in, where is it at? In Cincinnati? Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Basically, it's just, Horror Hound is a big name in horror magazines, like among Fangoria and everything like that. Basically, it's just going to be a 3-day weekend in Cincinnati, which is about 4 hours from where I live. And the best thing about it is a lot of the cast from The Walking Dead is going to be there.
Is Andrea going to be there?
She is not, but the lady who played Lori is going to be there. Hello? Oh,
that's the wife.
Sorry. Yes. And both Dixons are going to be there. And Carl is going to be there. But basically, it's just going to be a 3-day horror explosion. They're going to be having a film festival. They're going to be having concerts after hours. They're having an all-night film festival. I guess this year is the first year they're doing it. Friday and Saturday, they're going all night long. So I guess the convention's just not going to stop. There's still going to be vendors and everything open 24 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty insane there. This is probably one of the bigger ones that I've been to, aside from going to Fangoria's a couple years ago in Chicago, which was pretty big. I usually just go to smaller ones that are a little closer to my house, but basically it's just going to be a reunion for several older horror movies. The cast from Candyman's going to be there. The car from Christine is going to be there. And they are doing another House of Thousand Corpses reunion. So Sid Haig, Bill Moseley, Karen Black, everybody that was involved with that is going to be there, and they're going to do a panel. Mostly I'm excited about The Walking Dead, though. I'm excited to meet them and see if I can get some autographs and get to talk to some people there and, you know, spend a god-awful amount of money that I shouldn't be spending.
Right.
Sounds like fun.
It does sound like a lot of fun. And I will hopefully be doing some little blurbs and stuff while I'm there, little write-ups about different things that I'm seeing. And I will have more to talk to you guys about when I come back from it. It is at the end of March. I believe it's March 23rd and 24th are the days I'm going to be there. But I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
Right around my birthday. I should go out there, too.
You should.
That's too far. I'll travel.
It's Cincinnati. There's not a lot going on there.
Have fun.
Yeah, well, that sounds like fun. So that's cool. So are you excited?
Pumped? I am super pumped.
All right, folks. Thank you for listening. We hope you had a good time. I know we all did. Follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy. Like us on Facebook. If you have any questions, comments, or you want to fling some poo in our general direction, you can do it at our email, info@geeklegacy.com. And we will be coming at you all over you next week again, same time, same place.
On the chest, on the face. God.
Go play Colonial Marines.
Horrible. Everywhere. Horrible choice of words.